Praise the Lord. Camp meeting time. I love it. I love it. Praise God. God saved me over 50 years ago, and I ain't got tired of it yet. Amen. I found something you don't get tired of. Amen. I want to say something before I go any further. Have a few prayer cards here. This is Brother Bobby Goins and his family out of our church. If there's a man that I recommend, a family for the mission field, it's this man right here. And y'all know it. The reins of Norm Polly done took him on. I'm telling you, that man's real. That man is real. So if some of you feel like you need to take on another missionary, you need to contact this man here. I'm telling you what. Contact this man. All right. Now, I can't hear good. I'm nearly deaf. Did Brother Rain say something about that he didn't start in this kind of atmosphere?
Right.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I came up in an old dead church in South Georgia, and if you'd have done this, they'd have probably thought you wanted to ask a question. Right. Amen. Open your Bibles, please. Turn to Luke chapter 11, Matthew 6. I preached this message before, I think, in some of your church, but I can't remember ever having preached it in this meeting. And of course, there's some messages, I'm going to tell you, there's some messages, if they were preached every 6 months, it wouldn't be too often. And I believe this is one of them. I believe it is. Brother, I am really getting old or something. I can't open that thing. See if you can open it. I knew you was young and I am. Younger and uglier too. No. I'm joking. You know I'm joking. We've been knowing one another a long time. You know that for me to say something as crazy as that. Well, we got to have a little fun, but there's a lot in this world to weep over. A lot. Luke chapter 11. I'm going to put you on prayer. And I'm going to deal with the mechanics of prayer mostly, the mechanics of prayer. Because I believe if you and I learn how to pray, really learn how to pray, I believe we'll pray. A lot of Christians don't really pray because they don't know how to pray. I don't like to use this word, but I guess it'd be right to say there's an art to it. If you're going to pray biblically, you're going to pray in such a way that moves the hand that moves the whole world, then you're going to have to pray and pray till you get a handle on it. See, I think most Christians this day and time just go through the form. I don't know of anything you can become more mechanical at than praying. But anyway, and when I get, now, to God be the glory, but I've had preacher after preacher after preacher, Brother Rains, and missionaries too, and laymen too, to come to me and tell me that this message I'm going to bring this evening changed their prayer life. And I'm hoping that's what will happen here tonight. It'll change some of your prayer life. And when I get on the second point, I'm going to share two aspects of prayer that changed, I mean, actually changed my prayer life. Changed it. When I get on the last point, I'm going to share with you a miracle that took place right here about years ago as a result of prayer. Woo! As a miracle took place right here. Had to do with the weather. And some people don't believe that I'm telling the truth when I tell it. But I got witnesses here. I got witnesses here. They saw it. Don't worry, we didn't try to raise anybody from the dead. No, I'm no Benny Hinn. No, he ain't raised nobody from the dead neither. He needs to be raised from the dead himself. Well, amen, old man. I don't like the charismatic movement. I don't like it. Okay, let me get the Bible. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying, he's talking about Jesus, and this is one of seven occasions in Luke's gospel alone which you find our Lord praying, so it's very obvious that he spent a lot of time in prayer. If he needs to pray, how much more do you and I need to pray? It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples. I don't know all John taught his disciples, but it's apparent from this text that he must have taught his disciples how to pray. Now, I don't know of anything any better you could teach people than how to pray. Now turn back to Matthew 6. Now Luke's gospel says basically the same thing that Matthew's gospel says, but Matthew's account of this prayer is more thorough. It's more thorough than Luke's, so I want us to go back to Matthew 6 for the message. Matthew chapter 6. I begin reading with verse 5. Jesus said, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. Here's one of my favorite prayer promises, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for the much speaking. Now in passing, notice something. In verse 5, he said, when thou prayest. Verse 6, when thou prayest. Verse 7, when you pray. Not one time did he say if. He took it for granted that we're going to pray. Thank God for the privilege to pray. I love to pray. Amen. All right. Going on, he said, verse 8, be not ye therefore like unto them, don't be like the hypocrites or the heathen. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. You say, if God already knows what we have need of before we ask Him, then why ask Him? Well, He just knows you have need of it. Don't mean you're going to get it. Amen. What did James say? He said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. After this manner, notice the word manner. After this pattern, that's what it means. In other words, he's not giving us a prayer to be recited down to school, although that's fine. Any prayer in school now will be fine. What he's doing here is giving us a guide, a pattern to go by. He's telling us how to commence a prayer and how to continue it and how to consummate it right here. He's telling us how to pray right here. So notice the Bible says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What beautiful words. I'll lead us in a brief word of prayer. As I pray audibly, I want to ask everybody in here to pray in your heart. As I pray audibly, only God can make this message and this service what it ought to be. Would you pray in your heart as I pray audibly? God, now Father, and our God in heaven, God, Father, we come to pray you the living and true God, the only God. You said, I'm God, and beside me there's none else. Oh, God, how great thou art. God, you're great and great, let it be praised. Thank you, God, for the music that praised you this evening. Thank you, Father, for allowing the Raines family to come and bless our hearts. Now, I thank you for everyone that's here. Oh, God, I thank you for these, our precious friends, our precious brothers and sisters in Christ. There are no people, God, like you. People know God like you. No one like you, Jesus. You're the best thing that ever happened to us, ever will happen to us. Father, in Jesus' name, bless these men of God. Thank you for them. Bless, dear God, their place of service. Father, in Jesus' name, bless the church they pastor. Father, in Jesus' name, meet the spiritual needs of everyone that's come this evening. Please see to it that everyone that's come this evening gets spiritual help. Fill all us afresh new with the Holy Ghost. Fill us a double portion of thy spirit. God, we thank you. Please send revival in our day. Father, if it's one you lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Now, God, in Jesus' name, teach us how to pray. Teach us to pray. God, help us to pray without ceasing. The prayer is not faint. Help us continue in prayer. God, help us to pray. Thanks for the privilege to pray. I think we don't bow down and pray to some dumb idol. I think our God's alive. Our God's real. Oh, come, Holy Ghost, right now, come. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'm going to read you some quotes on prayer by way of introduction. It's meant a lot to me over the years. Maybe it means something to you. These have been gleaned from a number of sources. Someone said, prayer must mean something to us. It's going to mean anything to God. Someone said, 7 days without prayer makes one weak, W-E-A-K. Phyllis Brooks says, prayer is not conquering God's reluctance, but taking hold of God's willingness. Somebody said if Christians spend as much time praying as they do grumbling, they will soon have nothing to grumble about. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. That reminds me of the psalmist who said, early will I seek thee. Someone said, prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Someone said, none can pray well but he that lives well. Yes, the psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Prayer and sin don't go together. Remind me of what D.L. Moody said, the great evangelist who shook America with one hand, England with the other hand. D.L. Moody said, a praying man will stop sinning, but a sinning man will stop praying. Jason Little Baxter, great author, who wrote that great big thick book, said men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. Prayer can go where you can't go. Prayer can go where I can't go. Here's one of my favorite quotes. I don't know who said this, but boy, I love this. Somebody said, when you cannot pray as you would, pray as you can. When you cannot pray as you would, pray as you can. There's times when you can't pray like you want to. What do? You go ahead and pray in faith. Amen. The great author and Bible teacher, William Graham Scroggins, said, pray when you feel like it. Pray when you don't feel like it. Pray until you do feel like it. There's such a thing as praying through. There's such a thing as getting on praying ground. Then you love to pray. You enjoy praying. Then it's all downhill then. Sometimes you have to fight the demons of hell to get there. And if you don't believe in the devil, don't believe there are demons, then you commit yourself to pray in the power of the Holy Ghost every day, and you'll find out there's a devil in this world. Because he trembles when the weakest Christian gets on his knees. He hates for men you to pray. J. Hudson Taylor, great missionary to China, who opened up the interior of China to the gospel, made one of the greatest statements and one of the most helpful statements to me that I've ever heard in my life on prayer. Now get this. Oh, it's so helpful. He said, you say, Hudson Taylor, do you always have conscious joy when you pray? He said, why, no. He said, sometimes my heart's like wood. But he said, I pray on in faith. And he said, some of the greatest answers to prayer I've ever received is when I had no conscious joy at all when I prayed. Yes. Yes. See, the Bible didn't say, be it on your corner of feet. It said, be it on your corner of faith. The Bible didn't say without feeding it's impossible to please God. It said without faith it's impossible to please God. See, back when my children were home, if my son or daughter came up to me and said, Daddy, would you give me $10 to go to McDonald's or $20 to go to Cracker Barrel? I wouldn't say, well, now, wait a minute, let me see how you feel. No, I start reaching for the wallet. Well, you know what the Bible says? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more you have no father to give good things to them after? Hey, folks, why don't we ask him? Why don't we ask him? He meant what he said when he said what he did. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will, not I might, not I think about it, call on me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Our God's alive, our God's real. Victor Hugo said, those who always pray are necessary for those who never pray. Someone said, they who have steeped their souls in prayer can every anguish bear. Someone said, prayer moves the hand that moves the whole world. R.A. Torrey, one of D.L. Moody's contemporaries, who was also a great man of prayer, he said, prayer can do anything that God can do. John Owen, great theologian, said, he who prays as he ought will endeavor to live as he prays. Yeah, you pray like you ought to, and you'll try to practice what you pray. Glory! John Newton said, thou art coming to King, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power such none could ask too much. Number one, if you and I are going to pray biblically, if we're going to pray in such a way that God will hear and answer our prayers, then first of all, there must be relationship. Jesus said, when you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. That denotes relationship. There's only one person that can look between the clouds beyond the blue into the third heaven where the abode of God is, where God's sitting on the throne and say, our Father, and that's one who belongs to the Father. That's one who's been born again, who's been saved by the grace of God. I joined the church, was baptized when I was about 10. I went in the Baptist to a dry center, came out to others in a wet center, still lost. But I'm telling you, when I was 20 years old, God reached further down and I could reach up, and God saved my soul. I got saved in an old trusted Baptist church, old wood frame building in South Georgia. Thank God for the privilege to be saved and know it. I know that if I die while I'm preaching tonight, I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? What happened to you when you walked the aisles of the church? Did your name go down on the road up yonder, or did it just go down on the road down here? You say, what? The difference between heaven and hell? Is your name on the road here, not up there? When you die, friend, you're going to hell. But if your name's on the road up yonder, if you're born again, listen, your name is on the road up yonder, and when you die, you'll go to heaven. You don't have to worry about going to hell, thank God. There must be relationship, our Father. Secondly, there must be reverence. Hallowed be thy name. That denotes reverence. Reverence. See, the word hallowed comes from the same word we get the word holy, holiness, saint, sanctify, sanctification from. You can ask all these men of God, the word holy means basically set apart. See, our God is distinctively different from all other gods. I've already said it before. Our God's alive. Our God's real. Thank God I'm glad when I pray I don't bow down on some dumb idol. My God's alive. And he hears and answers prayer. He's just waiting. He's more willing to answer prayer than you and I are to pray. I promise you he is. Oh, yes, thank God. What a privilege to be able to pray, to be able to talk to God Almighty. What a privilege. So there must be relationship with our Father. There must be reverence. Hallowed be thy name. See up around that throne, them angels are crying, holy, holy, holy. Comes from the same root word. Holy. Hallowed, see. You want to get God's attention? You want to get God's attention? Praise Him. Praise Him. When does God oftentimes show up in a service? It's when the people are singing.
That's right.
Why? Psalm 22, verse 3, God inhabits the praises of Israel. As Paul Bill Hymer said in his book, Destined for the Throne, God lives in an enswathement of praise. I'm telling you, when people praise God, God shows up. God loves to be praised. The psalmist said, 7 times a day will I praise the Lord. Psalm 146 through Psalm 150, praise you the Lord. And then Psalm 150, it says, let everything that hath breath praise you the Lord. Every morning you get up, you can hear them. I probably can't. But every morning you get up, you hear them birds out there singing. Yeah. Then before that sun sets, you'll hear them singing again before they go to roost. I'm telling you, let everything have breath, praise God. I'm not going to let the birds do the praising for me. I can't carry a tune in the bucket, but I can praise God. The Bible didn't say we had to make a joyful sound. It said make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I make some noise, amen. Amen. For the glory of God. Amen. Back yonder years ago, this fella who sings in the Humpty Tonk on Saturday night and in church on Sunday. And I do one of those. And if you sing in a honky tonk on Saturday night, I wouldn't cross the street to hear you sing in church on Sunday. But this fella, he started singing that song, put your hand in the hand of the man. Ain't but one thing wrong with that, it ain't biblical. God ain't no handshaking God. When Moses approached that burning bush, God didn't say, come on, old boy, shake hands. God said, you put off your shoes from off your feet, for the ground whereon thou standest is holy ground. If you're going to talk to God, and if God's going to hear you, I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to forget about this handshaking business. He's a holy, he's awesome God. All right. The two aspects that change my prayer life. If you and I are going to reverence God when we pray, then first of all, we need to get an audience with God. You say, what in the world you mean get an audience with God? That's exactly what I thought when I was first introduced to that concept. Read it behind R.E. Toy in his book on how to pray. I got a shelf full of books on prayer. That's one of the best I've ever read. One of the best I've got. It ain't about 100 pages long. Now, my Aunt Mamie Calhoun was a prayer warrior. Everybody in our church knew Aunt Mamie could get a hold of God when she prayed. That's probably one of the reasons I'm saved. So after I got saved, I went to see her. Now, she's one of the last persons I wanted to go see before I got saved. Because she was a great big woman. Tough as a stump. She was. She knew I was full of the devil before I got saved. She'd see me on a Saturday before Sunday. She'd point that big old finger at me. She'd say, you better be in church tomorrow. That devil's going to get you. I told you she's tough. Well, she certainly didn't want to make me hug her neck. No, I stayed away from her. But when I got saved, that changed it. It's amazing what salvation can do. The very woman I used to run from, I went to see her after I got saved. Woo! I went over there and knocked on the door. Aunt Mamie seen who it was, said, come on in, Milton. walked in the house, hadn't been talking to her long before she went into another room and got that little paperback book. I already told her on how to pray. I think it was 39 cents back then. Now I think it's $4.95 or something. It's worth $10.95. Yeah. It's a good book. She said, "Milton, take this home and read it." "Yes, ma'am, Aunt Mamie." So I took it home and I commenced to read it. And I think it's in the second chapter where he talks about getting an audit with God. He said, by that I mean this. He said, before you utter one word when you go to pray, you make sure your mind's warm God and what you want to talk to God about. Now, but that's as simple as ABC or 1, 2, 3. But I'm going to tell you something other. I went through 2 weeks of mental anguish. I hadn't been saved long anyway. And my mind was so corrupt when I got saved. I went through 2 weeks of mental anguish trying to get that concept down. I mean, I had the hardest time trying to get my mind on God when I would pray than on what I was praying about. Man, I wrestled with that thing. But after about 2 weeks, I began to get my mind on God and what I was praying about. And guess what happened? The Holy Spirit of God came up on me. So I said, there's something to this. There's something to this. That happened over 50 years ago, and I'm still sharing it 50 years later. Why? Because it works. Before you say one word when you go to pray, you make sure you've got your mind on God. That's one of the reasons why that it's good to read some scripture before you pray. I like to read scripture before I pray. Now listen, some of the greatest saints that ever lived, some of those great men of God, great preachers years ago, would meditate upon God before they ever uttered a word, before they prayed. You see, because we say, well, if I just had more faith than God, that's not your biggest problem. Your biggest problem is you don't meditate enough on the object of your faith. See, the reason why we have a pygmy faith is because in our own mind we have a pygmy God. But you get in this book and read it, and I hope you read your Bible and pray every day, but you get in this book and read it and read it and read it and learn more and more about God, you're going to find that He's far beyond any pygmy God. You get to realizing how great and how good and how glorious God is. Then when you pray, boy, you're ready to pray. And you can believe. You can believe. You know He's going to hear you before you ever utter a word. Woo! Amen! I love to pray. So get an audience with God. Secondly, the approach to God. I got this one from a great writer who's written a number of books, wrote one of the greatest set of books on Ephesians and Romans that I've got, Martin Lloyd-Jones. He wrote a classic. Now, I don't believe everything he believed. He don't believe everything I believe, neither do I imagine. But anyway, he wrote a classic on the Sermon on the Mount, big, thick book. This is where we're at. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. And when I got to the part, this part right here that deals with prayer, he said this. He said, there are those who argue over whether there are 6 or 7 petitions in this prayer. He said, that's not the important thing. He said, the order is the important thing. He said, notice the order of this prayer. In other words, notice how it starts out. And then how it ends. Notice how it starts out. It don't start out with give me, give me, give me. It starts out with glory, glory, glory. It doesn't start with man, it starts with God. It doesn't start with petition, it starts with praise. It doesn't start with asking, it starts with adoration. Hallowed be thy name, that's adoration, that's praise. Amen. Woo! And so I started doing that. I said, I believe there's something to that. And so in my feeble little way, I'd get down and I'd start praising God before I'd ask for anything. See? And I've done this all up and down the country, and it's not for show. God knows my heart. I want to be a blessing. I've always needed a lot of help and still do. So if I can be of a blessing and help to somebody, then I'm grateful. I just want to say thank you, Jesus. But this will help you know what I'm talking about, I think, or what God's talking about. I like to start my prayer something like this. Our Father, thy God in heaven, God, hallowed be thy name, sanctified, set apart from all others, be thy name. holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come. The whole earth full of thy glory. Heaven is thy throne. Earth is thy footstool. The clouds are the dust of thy feet. Thou didst sit upon the circle of the earth. Thou didst walk upon the waves of the sea. Thou didst walk upon the wings of the wind. Thou didst oppose all things by the word of thy power. Thou art God and God alone. Thou art God beside thee. There's none else. I've not asked for one thing yet. That's what I want you to see. I've not asked for one thing yet. It's not time to ask for anything. Woo! It's not time to ask, it's time to adore. It's not time to petition, it's time to praise. Then when you do start asking, it'll start flowing like a river. You may not be able to pray like that overnight, but just keep at it. Keep at it. Because see, there's an anointing to pray as well as to preach. The Bible says, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. By the way, that's praying in English. I don't understand why some of these folks want to speak in tongues they can't control the one they got. Right? But just praise Him and praise Him. Boy, I got to doing that. Next thing you know, man, I felt the power of God. I felt the Holy Ghost. And then the next thing you know, man, I want to pray and pray and pray. Why? Because it's a whole lot easier to pray when the Holy Ghost is a praying through you. When you're praying in the Spirit. Woo! I believe I'll keep praying. I love it. I love it. I love to pray. Woo! Praise God. People to call me and ask me to pray for them on the phone or request prayer from all over. And I take it to heart too. I feel like if they call me and ask me to pray for them, that God means for me to do it. Oh, Dr. Percy Ray, I cut my teeth at Captain's Island. Dr. Percy Ray is the greatest man I ever met in my life. I love him and I miss him. Oh, what a giant he was. What a prayer warrior. Ooh. Man, you talk about a powerful man of prayer. He'd fast and pray and fast and pray and fast and pray, and he'd pray all night long. In a lot of his meetings, when he had the health, when he was young, he'd pray at least all night long, one night in every meeting he preached. Be praying when the sun come up the next day. Percy Ray. I got a picture that big of him on the wall of my study. He's one of my heroes. I never forget Percy Ray saying this, and he was not really that much of an emotional man. He was a strong, militant man. Choleric temperament or whatever you want to call it. But I seen him shed some tears one time. He broke down, started weeping. He said, I got to keep my heart right. He said, I get a stack of letters that thick all the time of people across this country who want me to pray for. I need to hurry. Must be relationship, our Father. Must be reverence. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. You go home. Listen now. Listen now. Preaching is not entertainment. Please go home. Put this into practice. See if it won't work for you. When you go to pray, make sure you get an altar with God. And when you do pray, take some time to praise Him before you ask for a thing. Why don't you try that before you go to bed tonight? Then again, when you get up in the morning. I mean, get started now. If you don't, you know, well, that will slip from you. The devil will take it away from you. He steals the seed out of our heart. Oh, I hate that. Anyway, coming back where we were. There must be relationship. There must be reverence. Thirdly, there must be reality. See, there's no reality kind of praying you find in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily, I say unto you, they have the reward. There's no reality in that kind of prayer. We don't pray to be seen and heard by man. We pray to be seen and heard by God. Forget about everybody else. When Jesus said, enter thy closet, he didn't mean you had to go into the closet and get down on your knees on high heel shoes, your wife's high heel shoes, and choke on mothballs out of your suits and pray. He, you can form a closet in that car going down the road down there. Amen. Some of the best times I've ever had in my life is praying behind the wheel of an automobile. If you get in Interstate 85, you better pray. Coming back where we were. When I think of reality and prayer, I think of what James said in James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word fervent there means coming to the boiling point. It would hurt for you and I to pray so fervently, so earnestly, until we break some sweat. If you think that's fanatical, then you're going to accuse our Lord of being fanatical, because the Bible tells us in the Garden of Gethsemane, he, being in an agony, prayed more earnestly till the sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. Woo! We could have some of that kind of praying by Christians all over America. We might could turn this thing around. But our little Sunday school prayers ain't going to get the job done. When I think of reality in prayer, I think of Psalm 55:17, where the Bible says, the psalmist said, evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. Amen. I don't believe you've got to be praying at the top of your voice every time you pray. I believe you can pray fervently, earnestly, sometimes, and not even open your mouth, and I've done it a lot. Have to save your vocal cords. I got a bad place on one of my vocal cords. I have to try to conserve it. But anyway, coming back to where we were, talking about reality in prayer, when I think of reality in prayer, I think of what John Bunyan said. He said, rather let your heart be without words than for your words to be without heart. The great Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, the prayer of the heart is the heart of prayer. Now, hurry, next of all, there must be retirement. Jesus said in Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. Not retirement from prayer, but retirement from everything else to pray. You say, well, I'm too busy to pray. If you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. You're not going to do anything any more important today, tomorrow, the next day, or any day than pray. You better pray, because the devil will get you if you don't. Jesus told his disciples, he said, watch and pray, lest you enter temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Simon Peter went to sleep, and what happened? The devil got him. Amen. Next thing you know, he's cursing, swearing, denying the Lord. You know where that started? In the Garden of Gethsemane, prayerlessness. Must be retirement. Now I want to share two things with you on prayer that's helped me, and maybe it's going to help you, because some people don't have the time to pray that we preachers have. I believe God expects us preachers to pray more than anybody. I really believe that. I believe that. But everybody should pray. The Bible teaches that. It says men, not just preachers, men always ought always to pray and not to faint. But here's two things that help you. One of them is the posture, and the other is the place. I think that's the most sacred posture. You'll find this posture in the Bible in relationship to prayer more than any other posture. Get your strong concordance and look it up, and you'll see how I'm telling you the truth. But now, wait a minute. This ain't the only posture. There's people right here tonight that cannot do what I'm doing. Their age and health won't let them. Their knees, their arthritis won't let them. And God ain't no slave driver. He's not a taskmaster. If you can't get on your knees and pray, why God don't expect you to get on your knees and pray? He ain't a slave driver. He's your father. He loves you. You read that Bible, you'll find where that Solomon went in the temple and stretched out his hand before the Lord. You read where David went into the temple and sent before the Lord. You read in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus fell prostrate upon the ground. Some of the prayer warriors that I've prayed with over the years and that I know of that prayed and prayed and prayed, did a lot of praying, stretched out upon the carpet in the church auditorium. The truth of the matter is, if you and I stay prayed up, we'll probably have to utilize all postures. Even if you've got the health to get out on your knees and pray, if you sit down and pray very long, if you're like me, the next thing you know, your joints are hurting, your backs are hurting, your knees are hurting. Some of the greatest prayer warriors I ever met did a lot of the praying just like this. Walking and praying. See, it ain't the posture, it's the heart. Joshua Smith used to pastor the People's Church in Toronto, Canada. They gave millions of dollars to missions. He was a great spirit-filled man of God. He said sometimes when I was on my knees, he said I'd get so sleepy, so sluggish. He said I'd devise a means of solving that problem. He said I'd go to one of the rooms of the house, push the furniture back against the wall, and he said I'd just walk and pray. Amen. Walk and pray. Posture ain't the main thing. I believe kneeling is the most sacred posture, but it's not the main, not the only posture, man. It's other postures. All right. There's different postures at different places. If kneeling is the most sacred posture, then, of course, the house of God, I believe, is the most sacred place because Jesus said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. But I hope you don't wait till you get to church to catch up on your praying. But it's a wonderful place to pray. It was dedicated. It was built and dedicated to God. It's a place of worship. So when you and I walk into the church building, it just should cause us to want to pray. It's more conducive to prayer. See? I'm sure it'll cause you to want to pray more than walking into the nightclub. You better stay out of there. Okay, when God saved my soul, I said goodbye to Elvis and the Beatles and the whole nine yards. Amen. Their music is not our music. Amen. You can go around saying you ain't nothing but a hound dog if you want to, but I'm a Christian. I ain't no dog. May look like one, but I ain't. I don't go around singing, I'm all shook up. I sing on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground sink and sink. You follow that crowd, you probably will be shook up. You follow that crowd, and God in heaven say amen to what I'm saying, you'll probably wind up in hell. Now you know how I feel about rock and roll. I hate it. Hate that stuff. Elvis and the Beatles and that crowd, we lost the young people in America when they came on the scene. God help! Oh, how sad. How sad. How sad. Now we got millions in this country going to hell without God. It ought to break your heart. Break your heart. But oh, you can pray in the house of God. You can pray in your house and hope you do. Man, you can pray in the backyard, front yard. You can pray in the garden. You can pray out in the pine thicket. Be careful though. I got ticks on me doing that one time and came down with tick fever and nearly died. That's the honest truth. But anyway, there's just all kinds of places you can pray. You go out in the graveyard and pray. You say, I ain't going out in no graveyard and pray. I ain't going out in that spooky place. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't them dead ones that bother me. It's them that's still alive. You can pray in the chapels, in the hospital, you can pray anywhere. Anywhere. You can pray in the mall. Now, I'm not a nut. Close to it, probably, but I'm not a nut. If I pray in the mall, I don't go down through there and say, oh, God, save all these heathen in J.C. Penney's and save all these infidels and belts. And I don't do that. I ain't a nut. But I was preaching a revival meeting down below Jacksonville, Florida, one time, and I got in a rut. That happened sometimes going to preach it. I reached back and I couldn't get anything. But I remember there was a pretty mall up there in Jacksonville. I said, I'm going up there and walk around that mall and pray. I like variety. We're different. We're all different, okay? You put me on a similar line, I'll pull my hair out. I got to do something different. Yeah. So I went up to the mall and I started walking to the mall. I kept my mouth shut. That's not easy for a preacher to do. But I walked through that mall. I went around and around in that mall. And in my heart, I was praying up a storm. Now, they didn't know what I was doing. They thought I was walking a cholesterol off. I was praying. I'm getting exercise at the same time. What about that? You know what Paul said? I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubt. And pray anywhere you want to pray. Anywhere. If you want to go out there and in the middle of the mall and get down on your knees and pray, you can do that. You may finish, you may say amen in the jailhouse, but you can do it. I need to hurry and get on. Next of all, there must be repetition. You say, no, preacher. Jesus said, use not vain repetition. Okay, notice the word vain. And then he said, as the heathen do. Number one, we're not the heathen. Number two, it's not vain to be repetitious if you put your heart in it, because Jesus was repetitious. Read Matthew 26. Jesus came and woke them disciples up for the third time. The Bible said he left them, went away again, and prayed the same words. S-A-M-E. He prayed the same prayer three times in the same place, all in the same day. Woo! There's nothing wrong with you getting on your knees or however you pray, sitting or standing or walking or whatever. There's nothing wrong with you praying several times a day and, I mean, get out and say, oh God, please send revival in our church. Oh God, save some lost souls Sunday. God, I pray, bless our pastor this week as he steadies, as he prays, as he prepares. Give him something for our hearts on Sunday, God. Keep the devil away from him and his family. There ain't nothing wrong with you praying that several times a day. And if you do, you're going to set your preacher on fire. So if you want to fire your pastor, then just get out there and pray till God sets him on fire. Must be repetition. See, that's Psalm 55:17, evening, morning, noon. Well, I pray and cry aloud to him a voice. Folks, you study your Bible. That's what the Jews did. That's what them disciples did. Read it. You find it went up to the temple at what? The hour of prayer. Just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed three times. I tell you what, you read your Bible and pray three times a day, and I'm not saying you got to pray three times a day. I'm not doing that. No, you got to be careful. You make a law out of something other than the next thing you know, you'll be saying, where in the world is God at? See? But I'm just simply saying that them Jews and disciples of them, they would pray at 9, at 12, and 3 every day. See, if you read your Bible and pray three times a day, you probably won't be backsliding tomorrow or the next day neither. Men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, that is. I need to hurry up. Next of all, there must be righteousness. I'm being too long. I'm going to get done. Verse 12, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Sound about the same thing in verse 14 and 15. If you don't forgive people, then God won't forgive you. Now watch this. There are a number of things Jesus could have dealt with that will hinder prayer. I have a message I entitled Hindrances to Prayer. A lot of hindrances. But coming back where we were, there are a lot of things he could touch on that will hinder prayer, but he touched on a big one. Unforgiveness. Amen. Unforgiveness. Boy, you want to kill a church, just let a bunch of the people in the church get mad with one another and fall out with one another and go around with grudges in the heart. It grieves the Spirit of God. I remember a missionary telling this great pastor who's had a great church over the years. He said, keep your people in the altar praying. Keep your people in the altar praying. Folks, I'm going to tell you something other. I'm going to tell you something else. Pretty hard to fight like this.
That's right.
Keep your people on the knees. Then when they get on the feet, they'll act right. Do right. I can close. Last of all, there will be reward. Will be reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father with secret, and thy Father which seest in secret, shall reward the opener.
Amen.
Shall reward the opener. Now I said unto them as I know how. God help. I believe bragging is sin. I do. I don't want to be a braggart. God forbid, please, God help me not to be that. But I could stand here and tell you one true story after the other. Whether we prayed and God came through, God answered the prayer. And I'm not going into a whole bunch of them. I'm just going to share one, because I told you I would, that pertains to this place right here. Some of you that have not been here when it was 90 and 95 degrees. You don't know it, but what you experience tonight is a picnic. Some of us know what it is coming here and sweat and use the fans. Some of you use them now. Boy, you ought to see what they did when it's 90, 95. One in each hand. No, not really, I don't guess, but anyway, back when I had the health, y'all would let me come. Dr. McAbee was moderator there. Y'all would let me come about every third year or something like that. You rotated it around. You'd have me, and then you'd have somebody else, I guess it was, and then I'd come back, and then I had a bad breakdown, and then I couldn't continue. By the way, though, I am pushing more one time. You're going to ruin me, man. I love you. I'm joking. But I'm preaching more than one time. I ain't not preaching a whole week, though, in a place like this. I mean, I'd love to. I wish I could. But I can't do it. My health won't let me do it. I've had 7 breakdowns, folks. Honest. But God's grace is sufficient. God's got to break us to make us.
See,
some of us would not be where we're at spiritually if it wasn't for suffering. Read your Bible. Paul was a great Christian, but Paul said, I go in my infirmities. Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh and God refused to remove it. I was preaching somewhere or another here just lately, and we'd pray for this man, you know, anoint him with oil. And then when I got to preaching, I told the folks, I said, you don't have to pray for God to heal me. Just pray for God to give me the grace to keep going. Yes!
Amen.
Just keep going.
Amen.
Coming back to where we were. Nearly every preacher's ever preached here when it was 95 degrees was wringing wet when they got done preaching one. Some of them had sweat dripping out the end of the tide. So that first year I preached here, when the last service came around, I felt like a walking zombie, man. I was used up. Now, heating up. Then when it came time for me to do it again, then that year it was real hot. 95 degrees, day after day. I came here and preached on a Sunday night, went home. That's to be right back that Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night again. But anyway, I got up that morning and told my wife, I said, honey, I'm not complaining. God knows I'm not playing. He knows I'm not complaining. But we need to get out here and pray for God to run this temperature down. See, I had a heat stroke working on a farm. Some of you have heard a life story done by the Pacific Guard Missionary Program Unshackled. My daddy, listen, his nickname was Hot, and he lived up to it, boy. He beat me. He abused me. I'd hide on the house. I'd run away from home. And he worked us so hard when I was just a teenager, I had a heat stroke in a watermelon patch, getting out watermelons one after the other, you know, loading them big old trucks and all in that heat. July and August, rough. But anyway, I had a heat stroke. And they tell me once you have a heat stroke, from then on, you have to be careful. It's easy to get too hot. Well, that's been my experience. So I said, honey, let's get out here and pray for God to run this temperature down. God knows I'm not complaining, but I can't take that heat. We claim Matthew 18:19 again. I say unto you that the two of you shall agree on earth and touch anything that shall ask shall be done from my Father in heaven. We got out and I said, God, you know I'm not complaining. God, you know I'm not complaining, but you know I can't take the heat. Father, in Jesus' name, please run that temperature down. Oh, God, you answered Elijah's prayers. He prayed that it might not rain. It rained not by the space of 3 or 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. God, I got the same God Elijah had. And God, you're just as real, just as much God now as you ever would or ever will be. God, please run this temperature. We got it, went on our way. After a while, I said, let's pray again. We prayed again. Got up, went on our way. After a while, I said, let's pray again. All day long. You said, I preacher, do you actually believe God's going to run that temperature down? I would have prayed nearly all day long if I hadn't believed it. Yeah, I believe it. As Paul said, I say the truth in Christ. I love it. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you what happened. Some things started happening outside. When that news reporter came on about 5:17, I was curious to see what he's going to say. I'm going to tell you exactly what he said. I ain't making one word of this up. He said, we've never seen anything like this in the history of giving the weather forecast. We've never seen a jet stream come this far south this early in the year. There's a big sign in Spartanburg, used to have the temperature on it. It's when you're coming up that four lane there right in the town, headed on down here. It used to have temperature on it. It don't have it now, but it did at one time. When I came up through there, headed out here on that Monday night, it didn't say 90, it didn't say 95, it said 73. That's just good preaching, brother. Woo! I believe I'll keep praying. And these men right here, can bear witness to that. They've seen it happen. Boy, God ran that temperature down. As a matter of fact, they have a hard time. Folks have a hard time believing that part, so I don't even tell them this part. But y'all saw it, so I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it. You remember what y'all saw? It was a big cloud, nowhere but right around here. Woo! I got the same God Elijah had. I ain't no Elijah, but I got the same God he had. I believe I'll keep praying. Hallelujah. Stand your feet. Woo! Hallelujah. I have a word of prayer while they're getting ready. Some of you may want to come to the altar while I'm praying. Our Father and our God in heaven, God, thank you for the privilege to pray. I thank you, God, who hears and answers prayer. Thank you, didn't give us the promise to mock us. God, I thank you meant what you said when you said what you did. You said, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you for this good crowd. Please bless everyone here. God, our place will teach all us how to really pray. All got us to pray and pray and keep on praying. Help us to pray. Pray without ceasing. Help to pray. Because when they're lost, God, have come to him and pray the sinner's prayer and ask Jesus to save. Speak, God, speak. In Jesus' name, speak, Holy Ghost. Speak their hearts. In Jesus' name.